Welcome into hour number three of Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas with you. We'll take you up to 6:37 tonight, and then it's time for some Cleveland Indians baseball. Interleague action. Tribe taking on the Cincinnati Reds at 7:10 down at Progressive Field tonight. We'll have that game for you here on AM 930 WEOL. A big weekend for the Tribe and a big weekend at the box office for Dunkirk. Here to talk to us about all that and much more is our Hollywood insider, Al Harris. Al, how are you, my friend?
Great. I'm loving that transition you had there, Bull. That was a nice one.
Hey, I had a nickname in college called Sergeant Segway, amongst many other nicknames, but I can't repeat those here on air, so we'll just keep it clean and we'll stick with that. Dunkirk cleaned up at the box office just over $50 million in an opening weekend in the States, double that worldwide. Now, I don't know if you had the chance to see this or not. I haven't seen it yet. I've heard nothing but great things, though. Any initial thoughts from you on Dunkirk and why it was so incredibly successful?
Yeah, I saw it. I was able to. And I am not a Christopher Nolan fan. I'm a very few that's very vocally opposed a lot of his movies. I was not a big Inception fan, did not like Interstellar, did not like Dark Knight Rises. That being said, and I've actually talked to a lot of people that were kind of lukewarm with this film, even though most of the critic reviews have been, like, through the roof. And I really enjoyed it. It's, I think, my biggest issues with Christopher Nolan's movies are, I think there's always a lot of story plot holes in them, and I think the characters are usually two-dimensional, which to me doesn't make a good movie, and I think to a lot of people, but for some reason that gets overlooked when we're talking about Christopher Nolan. I always think he's style over substance. And this movie was actually, while I still think was style over substance, it picked a good enough like a plot where it didn't matter that the story made sense or that the characters were evolved, because what it was just a straight up war movie, and it was 120 minutes of just straight pulse pounding action. The music, the straight up, there's like a ticking clock throughout the entire movie that kind of puts you on edge and waiting, and it's just a very well directed movie for once. And I thought it was a great movie. I thought it was very well done. I thought the performances were there. It wasn't a lot of dialogue, but I thought the performances were very strong. And I thought the action set pieces were done really well. And like I said, it's a quick 120 minutes, and it's a pretty strong movie. It actually did less than I thought it would do in the box office. I thought it would be more of a like a blockbuster in the way that some of these other, you know, comic book movies were. Because of the name Christopher Nolan and it being a war movie and us not having a really strong war movie recently, but it still did very good, so nothing wrong there.
And when you talk about a movie that's looking more for style over substance, so I mean, it seems like this would be the one. Like you said, it's a war movie that captures sort of the horrors and you get the excitement there of those the war as well.
Yeah, and it is. It is style over substance, but I think it works well in this, because you know, with Interstellar and Inception, he was building a world. So him building that world, if it didn't make any sense, it was like, okay, you built this. This makes no sense. Like, I'm not into it. But with this, it's a true story, you know? Mm-hmm. He's not building this world. He's just showing it to us. So there wasn't a lot of these plot holes like, no, your science makes no sense, you know? Mm-hmm. Because it was a true story.
Without giving too much of this away, there were a couple of surprises in the way that it was filmed. Do you have any thoughts on the retrofitted 70mm screens?
Not really. By being in, like, no man's land, Tennessee, we weren't able to see it on a real 70mm projection. So we were kind of bummed by that. I know a lot of the ones in L.A., they have that. I'm not sure how Cleveland, Ohio it is, but I don't have a lot to say about it, but I would recommend seeing it wherever there is a 70mm projection and the best sound quality you can find, because it is an experience, almost like the way Gravity was, because I never considered Gravity like a great movie because it was an experience. Mm-hmm. It wasn't something I'd rewatch, but I felt like I was there and I loved it in the moment, you know?
What's the idea? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Dunkirk is kind of that same kind of vibe.
What's the idea, though, of using the 70mm film? Well, what's that experience add to it? Does it give you more of like a wartime feel with it?
Well, the bigger screen, you know, the bigger feeling. You can see a lot more. It shows you the way it's supposed to be shot.
See.
You see the crispness of the film, the colors, the brightness, like the way it was intended to be filmed. A lot of times when, you know, directors film something and then depending on the projection, it gets downgraded. These 70mm 4K projections project the movie the way the director has intended us to see it. So that is why I always recommend figuring out how this film was shot. Like, last Star Wars was filmed in 35mm, but a lot of people were going to these big digital projections. And if you could find a theater that was showing in 35mm, that's the way I recommend it. Like, anytime you can see how a film was shot, you can see how it's recommended to project it, and I always recommend getting to see that. I know in L.A. we have those options. I don't know about other places, but...
We're talking with Al Harris, our Hollywood insider, here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Well, while Dunkirk did really well... Boy, Valerian, well, that may be a movie shot in outer space. It was pretty well grounded this weekend at the box office. Any idea why it did so poorly?
I just think it was, I don't know, the trailer was a little schlocky. I don't think the cast was strong enough to pull in people. I think it was a lot of people that saw Luc Besson directing it and saw, like, it has this like kind of Fifth Element vibe to it. So I think people, fans of those type of movies, wanted to go see it. Besides that, it didn't really grab in people that weren't familiar with his work or that movie in particular. And that being said, even though that movie did awful, I was shocked to see how well Girls Trip did, pulling in $30 million for you know, what looked like a kind of a black version of Bridesmaids. But it did very well for it, and that's good to see for something like with a different, you know, cast and story.
Sure.
Well, you look at all these other movies that were on the box office list over the course of the weekend. One of the movies that stood out to me also was one that really got little to no pub, even though it's actually done pretty well over the last week and a half. What about The Big Sick? I mean, Ray Romano is really the only guy with a kind of sort of big name in that movie. It's actually gotten some pretty darn good reviews so far. Why didn't it get much pub? And, you know, the reviews seem so darn good for it. Have you seen this yet? Heard anything about it?
I have not seen it. I have heard about it. It actually premiered in L.A. maybe a month ago. And I've heard great things about it from Sundance, or from what I think was Sundance, and just all of the pub it's gotten. Well, you said the only big name is Ray Romano, and I disagree. Holly Hunter is in it as well, and she might not be as big a name now, but she definitely was in the 90s. And you have the two of them, and it's written by Kumail Nanjiani, who, for those that watch Silicon Valley, plays, I'm drawing a blank on his name in Silicon Valley, but he's the, you know, the Indian guy on the team. And he basically wrote this, him and his wife wrote this story, basically based on a true story that happened to them. And, yeah, everything I hear, it's a great little indie comedy, which, you know, every summer has a good one of those, like Obvious Child a couple years ago. I'm drawing a blank on what it was last year. But, yeah, it's getting great reviews. Judd Apatow produced it. So it has some big names as a part of it. But it's one of those movies that, like we said, the cast, the main cast isn't as well known. So it's really a word-of-mouth movie, and it's, like I said, it's been showing in bigger cities for, like, the past month and building up that word-of-mouth until it's, you know, national debut. And it'll do decent enough, I think. I don't think it's going to be a world beater at all, but it's going to get great reviews, and it's going to be a movie that hopefully, you know, a lot of people see, and that kind of is a springboard for Kumail's career.
It seemed like, I might disagree. I think this got publicity. It just went a different route with it. You didn't see it on TV much. You didn't see it in theaters much. I think you saw it like on the internet. It popped up everywhere on Facebook, on YouTube, well, anytime I turned on the internet.
And that's what I was talking about. It was kind of like that word of mouth. And
true.
Yeah, the way they marketed it to the right areas, you know?
Yeah.
They knew this was going to be, because with Apatow's name in it, you know, it's going to get a little bit of recognition. And then, just a matter of, you know, like we said, it did very well in the festivals. people are going to start hearing about it, posting on Facebook and that kind of thing.
Sure.
And it's going to definitely, I would assume, make its money back and probably do even more than that.
Sure. And speaking of things on the internet, YouTube, things of that nature, obviously Comic-Con was this weekend, and one of the things that leaked out was the Infinity War trailer. I always wonder on this, Al, maybe you've got the insight. It doesn't seem like this is a bad thing for the MCU that this leaks out, because everybody's talking about this now.
And sometimes I do believe that these leaks are actually, you know, orchestrated.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you.
Yeah. I don't know for a fact, but there definitely is some of that with a few of these. Because, yeah, it's just like, oh, check it out. It's leaked. Check it out before they take it off, you know.
I seem to recall, didn't the same thing happen with Guardians of the Galaxy 2 or something like that last year at it?
Yeah. It's happened a couple times where people are, like, freaking out, but no one's actually in a rush. Because if they wanted to take it down, they can easily take it down. Like, it's not a hard thing to do. And they have enough lawyers and everything to do that they could cease and desist it quick. They want it out there. It's a trailer. It's not the full movie, you know.
Uh-huh.
If it's the full movie, that's an issue. But if it's just a trailer, they don't really care. And I think it's better for them to have this kind of word of mouth as well. Like, we're talking about it now.
Sure.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be talking about it if they're like, oh, here's, you know. So.
Right, no, it's a nice little teaser. There's no question about it. It gets people talking about it. It's hype. There's no doubt about it. And I think that's why they release it. And if I'm not mistaken, I think we talked a little bit about it at the end of D23 when we had you on last week. But now, you know, at Comic-Con in San Diego, obviously a large gathering, and you hear all these things come out. Anything surprising that came out of Comic-Con in San Diego that really intrigued you? I mean, you know, we could talk about these teasers and these trailers all day long. It's just enough to get you excited about what's to come. Was there anything of relative significance that came out of Comic-Con this past weekend?
Well, I'll say I'm glad you phrased it that way, because it seemed like this Comic-Con more than ever has just been like, you know, Thor Ragnarok came out. They already had a trailer. They just had a new one. Stranger Things Season 2 showed their trailer. But it's all stuff that, like, we knew about or we have seen at least something for. Like, Westworld had a trailer. Nothing that, like, kind of came out of the woodwork or, like, something new to see. Except for there's two I want to talk about. One was Bright, which is the trailer for Will Smith's new Netflix movie starring Will Smith and Joel Edgerton. That is Netflix's $90 million blockbuster movie, their biggest by far, trying to get into the blockbuster realm. And that could honestly could really dictate a lot what Netflix does here on out. If this movie's a huge success, then you could see them spending more and more money doing more blockbusters instead of these like niche small films that they have been doing so far. That being said, the trailer I thought looked absurd, and I don't think it's going to be a good movie. Anything with, you know, LAPD cops who are actually like orcs and fighting fairies, like, I don't know. It just doesn't sound realistic. Like, I know it's a fantasy, but even then, it just seems a little much. Plus, the makeup didn't look great. I don't think it'll be a very good movie, so we'll see how that goes. And the other big one was the first trailer for Steven Spielberg's new movie, Ready Player One, which looks like a smorgasbord of cultural references and looks like it could be a lot of fun. There's definitely some. It's the first real, like, action-y sci-fi movie Spielberg's done in a while. Kind of harkened back a little bit to Minority Report and some of the other ones he did, but a little more fun. And I'm really excited for that one. I don't know if it's going to be good or not, but the trailer looked a lot of fun. You had, like, close references, like, the Iron Giant was in there. There's a Back to the Future reference. So it could be a lot of fun, and it's Spielberg. So anytime Spielberg has a new movie coming out, it's something to get excited about.
Well, we ask you for it at the end of our interviews every single week. This week will be no different. What picks to click do you have for us this week?
Well, for one is, I got two for this week. One is, speaking of Netflix doing their like kind of niche films, they're The Incredible Jessica James, which is starring, and I'm drawing a blank on her name, but she was a correspondent on Daily Show. It's a film that she wrote and directed, or wrote for, that did very well in Sundance, and Netflix acquired, and that comes out this week. And it's one of those really, like, niche indie comedies, but looks like it could be good. And then, finally, we got teased a season 3 premiere on April 1st, but then they didn't release anything until this Sunday.